Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How's it going, Caitlin?
Bedtime's a charm.
Why are we so bad at podcasting? We're not good at this. We've tried to shoot this, to record this podcast three times. This is our third time trying it. So last night, and we were both just exhausted. Like, we got 15 minutes in, and we both just fell down.
The first 15 minutes were fits of giggles.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I just lost all my words. I had no words left. I looked in my word bucket. There was not one to be found.
We just waited until too late to try and do it, I think.
Yeah. So we went to bed, and before we did a whole fantastic podcast. Oh my god,
The chemistry was so good. We were so on fire. How long was it? Like
45 minutes.
It was so long, and then we found out that the microphone wasn't plugged in. Oh god.
Anyway,
it's a good thing that we enjoy each other's company.
And, you know, and the fact is also that this is like, yeah, well, that's true, but this is, we've got three articles to catch up on.
Yeah.
So, like, this whole daily podcasting thing is a total lie. We are such liars. Like, this is not happening.
It's a sham. It's a shame. You really are a grifter, Caitlin.
I really am.
Yeah. We have not been on top of our daily podcasts for... We don't have a good streak going lately.
No.
It's just life keeps happening.
Well, it is because I figure that the articles are the most important thing, and then everything else, comes second to that. And so, kids need to be dropped off at places or, just life gets in the way. Yeah, anyway,
sometimes the podcasts and the poems won't happen.
Yeah. But, the articles will happen. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the first one. This is a catch-up, right? So we're going to do why I disagree with the strategy of exiting Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
I think we should talk about the trouble that you got in on Twitter first.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. That seems like so long ago.
That was so long ago that we were talking about that, but, like, I should... it was... We should probably say something about it.
Okay, so Sybil Edmonds, who has been taking pot shots at Glenn Greenwald.
Not just pot shots.
Oh, actually vicious.
Despicable.
Yeah, despicable.
Absolutely gross, vile accusations.
The worst accusation you could make, really.
Like calling him a child child pornographer without actually saying it.
Yeah.
But just like repeatedly... insinuating, using the word child pornographer and Greenwald's name over and over again and stuff.
Like,
and
the very worst of the MSM. You know, this is the same as Saddam Hussein 9/11, isn't it?
But yeah, it looks more and more like she's auditioning for a spot on Fox or something.
Right.
But yeah, and I guess the idea is, I have no idea if any of this is even true. You know, Greenwald and people like Susie Dawson say she's completely full of shit about everything. But, like, her whole accusation that she keeps dragging him with is that he's a gay guy, and he was involved in distributing some gay porn, or was a lawyer for gay porn or something like that, for a gay porn company. I don't remember. But there was the word boys was used in it.
And like, that's a thing.
Like, that's a thing. Like, in the same exact way that normal straight porn targeted marketed towards men uses the word girls. They use the word boys. And over again, she's talking about how that's like it means that it's marketed towards pedophiles or something.
Right. As if it's not hard enough to be a gay guy anyway. And then, so that's really gross. I've hated her ever since. For that, and now she's got this massive vanity project up. It's an hour and a bit. It's just her, like, ugh, God, there is so little substance.
Yeah, it's about Vanessa Beely and Ava Bartlett, who are two anti-imperialist Syrian activists.
Right.
Who put out some great material and are on our side and are doing a lot of good work.
Yeah. So she's got about a handful of points that she actually makes. all of which you could find on Elliot Higgins's bloody Twitter. They, you know, right. None of it was new. And the rest is just her talking about her dad and how he was a surgeon and stuff. And then there were, she had this guy on it. I have no idea what his story was. Like
the Syrian guy?
The Syrian guy. He just talked and talked.
They didn't edit that at all. Like, it looks like the show looked like it's like a movie. It's like movie length. It's like an hour and 15 minutes. And it looks like they started with like 50 or 60 hours of footage or something like that.
Right.
Pared it down to an hour and 15. Could have easily pared it down to 10 minutes.
And what it amounts to is a bit of Twitter beef. I think his point, right, because he goes on about getting a taxi and there was coffee and there was a
He met
book.
Eva Bartlett and then we there had two coffee.
Books.
Yeah, he had two books.
This is the book.
So he met Eva Bartlett and she wanted to give Eva a book, but Eva had a friend with her. And he was like, well, it turns out I have two books. And then the Sybil shows the picture of the book. And says, look, he really does have a book. His dad wrote a book.
Good journalism, Sybil.
There's two books. And so I have one book for Eva and one book for Sybil. I said, say a thing. Get to the point. Tell the fucking story, my God. Just on and on and on between her vainglorious
monologues
about herself and just holding court. She seems like a queen sitting on her throne holding court and talking about what real journalism is supposed to be, when really she just made a hour and 15 minute movie over like a Twitter beef that she has with Eva and Vanessa Vili.
And she pretty much, you know, she laid out the laws for good journalism and they, while breaking nearly all of them.
Yeah.
The only one she didn't break was that she was very upset about the profanity. And I think that goes back to her weird prudish thing.
Yeah, it's a Puritan. She's a fucking... The same reason that she thinks Greenwald is a monster.
Yeah, but she does not like profanity.
There was so much
That's what
profanity.
I got from that.
Have you ever seen so much profanity? And then Glenn Greenwald, he watched pornography. And where does the penis even go? If you are not a... If you, there's no vagina, where do you put the penis? It's disgusting.
That's
funny. So prudish.
You're right.
And freaking out about the profanity over and over and over and over again about the fact that Eva and Vanessa curse.
Like, yeah.
Nobody fucking cares.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was just a gathering of, you know, Vanessa and Eva's haters, and they took some videos very badly chopped up. That was the other weird thing. I didn't feel like I could trust any of the statements from people because they were so tightly cropped. Like,
yeah, they kept snipping. You kept seeing the snips and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, like, that's the stuff they left in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the
If you're
the
gonna, you just could have kept snipping, Sybil. Could have snipped and snipped and you could have easily snipped an hour, literally an hour off of that feature length film you made.
Yeah. Anyway, so the eye of Sauron is upon me because I made a tweet storm about this.
Just, oh God, why did you do that?
Because look, she's going to do it anyway. I'm definitely on her list.
Oh, man.
I'm sure she's got a list,
man,
and I'm definitely
all the
on
haters
it.
Just settled down.
I
it's,
know.
This whole social media thing just got normal, and now you got to go pick a fight with fucking Sybil Edmonds.
Well, yeah, you're just helping me right now to pick a fight. You do realize that.
And she cursed at me, and she used profanity, and her husband was there, and he is not particularly well-groomed, and they probably have intercourse and sleep in the same bed. It's vile and disgusting. Have you ever seen such a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Church lady does journalism. Anyway, so yeah, she's either doing a showreel for MSM, like she's trying to, like, someone said that she's an ex-FBI agent.
Ex.
Yeah. And who is ever ex, you know, intelligence community?
I don't know. We don't want to be making accusations that we can't back up.
Yeah.
But you're acting really pro-establishment by continually targeting the brightest anti-establishment voices, and it's pretty gross. There's already an Elliot Higgins.
Yeah,
like he already did all the things you just did in that.
Right,
you just did a bunch of Elliot Higgins shtick with an hour of filler.
Yeah,
an hour and 5 minutes of filler.
I mean, now we know all about your dad. That's great. great. Anyway.
And you have a very lovely bust of something in the background.
Yeah, that was weird too. Yeah. fucking marble thing. Bust. Very fancy schmancy.
We would not get along well with her.
I know that. So I just, look, rip the Band-Aid off. I know. Don't look at me like that. I know.
Nah, I get it. I totally get it. Anyway, what was that article you were going to talk about?
All right. Why I disagree with the strategy of exiting Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Jesus, that was ages ago. We have not done a podcast in so long. I'm so bad at this. God damn.
But we did only just talk about this about an hour ago, too,
That's
though.
True. We did.
Anyway, so look, there's been a thing going around, delete Facebook, particularly Zuckerberg has been in a lot of trouble with the Cambridge Analytica stuff. You know, everyone's finally waking up to the fact that this guy has been gathering enormous amounts of data on each and every one of us. I tried to download my Facebook file the other day. 2 gigabytes of data they have on me. So I couldn't even be fucked getting it out. Like, where am I going to put that? You know, that's no wonder they need... Wow, their server hold must be amazing. Like,
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean...
But, yeah, so I think it's great that Zuckerberg is finally getting, you know, gang stomped like he should be and having the sort of scrutiny brought to him as any lord should have, any oligarch.
Right.
But it's unfortunate that it took him violating the democratic establishment in order for that to finally happen.
Oh, I know, isn't it gross? Like, you know, when Cambridge Analytica helped Obama, they were all like...
Exactly
the same way. They were lauding him for his brilliance. What an intelligent... Look, oh, the man is a social media genius.
He understands the new media.
Right, yeah.
He's so young and hip.
Yeah, they're such hypocrites. But anyway, whatever. He is a prick with way too much power, so at least we were looking at him.
Yeah, this is whatever. I'll fucking take it. Who cares?
Yeah.
So there, a lot of people are saying we should just leave Facebook and that'll kill Facebook, and we should leave YouTube and that'll kill YouTube. We should leave Twitter and that'll kill Twitter. And you basically say in your article, no, it won't.
No, it won't. Ben Swan actually made a video about it too, in his... You know, the libertarian mindset is that the free market fairy is going to, like, always solves everything. As long as you just let the markets decide, then everything's all fine and dandy. But that's not what's going on here. Zuckerberg's acting in a really weird way, and I needed to point that out as well. He doesn't care about getting more people. He's already dropped 24% of his viewers, and will probably drop more. He knew that. He's willing to go ahead.
He said that would happen. He said the changes we're making will make people spend less time on Facebook. And it did. 24% less time.
He's willing to spend more on overheads. He's put on 14,000 more people. It'll be 20,000 by the end of the year to do this so-called fake news audit or whatever. He's you know, hiring a bank of censors. So he's willing to take a big hit in money and customers and put on a lot of overheads. Does that sound like a business model to you? Or does that sound like someone who is getting some power or kickback somewhere else?
Yeah, that sounds like an oligarch who is collaborating with intelligence agencies, just like the rest of Silicon Valley is.
Right. Because at some point, you know, you got to grok at some point that money to you and I means a lot. You know, it means it's the difference between living and dying at our stage. And even, you know, when there are people, you know, millionaires, it's all still about gathering money. But at some point, it flips over. You've got so much money doesn't mean anything to you. It's all about getting power. And I think that's where Mr. Zuckerberg is right now. So, yeah, I think he's swapping a little bit of money for some extreme power. And I believe what they would be hoping is that everyone anti-establishment leaves. I think that would suit them fine.
Well, they're working really hard to make that happen.
Yeah, that's actually all their actions indicate that they really want to squeeze everyone out. They want to make it difficult. They're running disruption campaigns. They, you know, throttling people's reach and their followers, and they're kicking them off, and they're making them come back on. Like, you know, showing your passport to get back on fucking Twitter. How crazy is that? Whatever, like, they can do to make it too difficult to be bothered anymore, and then to go and make your own echo chamber of somewhere else, just outside our mainstream one.
Right, yeah. Get away from our herd. Get away from our flock.
Terence McKenna said that, you know, he reckoned that 5% of the population, as long as it's 5% or under of the population isn't too, is awake, then they're okay. Anything more than 5%, they would start to really worry.
So this should be encouraging.
Yeah, I think they are.
We've got to be over that mark.
Yeah, I think we're over the 5.
Because they're really starting to work hard to shut down anti-establishment voices across all these platforms, which are, you've used the phrase quasi-governmental.
Right.
they're intertwined with the intelligence agencies and with the government. You have them being brought in front of the Senate, and the Senate telling, actual senators telling these companies on the Senate floor, hey, you've got to make some changes to prevent the fomenting of discord.
Right.
Because civil wars start with words.
Yeah.
And you've got to prevent that. It's your duty to censor voices that would cause discord.
So there's not, but there's not only just authority coming from them saying you've got to do this. There has been seed money coming from the beginning.
Right. Yeah. You did a whole thing on how Google, it was, put where it's at by NSA and CIA seed money.
Right.
Like from the very beginning.
Yeah. So this is, you know, they are not just quasi-governmental. I would argue that strongly that they're government contractors in many different ways.
Yeah. They're very, very deeply involved. I mean, fucking Google is making engaging in drone warfare.
Eric Schmidt is one of the most disgusting people on the planet.
Did you see that video?
We don't concentrate on him enough, I don't think.
Yeah, we should. We really should. Like, he keeps moving into the background. Like, he steps out of the leadership role, and he moves to go into, like, these kind of think tanky roles and stuff. But he's, like, like a video of him talking about how he wants to build a better humanity by controlling what kind of news people have access to and stuff.
Yeah.
Arr.
Yeah, yuck. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the idea is, look, there's a lot of really cool alternatives popping up, and I encourage people to go and try them out because they're fun. Like, it's lovely to be on MeWe where, you know, there's no saboteurs or disruptors or anything like that yet. I mean, I'm sure they're on their way, but you can really get some stuff happening. Like, you can collaborate and converse, and it's creative, and there's no trolling or whatever. It's really fun. So, yeah, I encourage people to go and, you know, get stock up on good feelings there. That's really good. And also to create memes and shit. But we've got to be right where the mainstream is, and that's where we worry them. It's a media war. You've got to be right where the media is trying to brainwash everyone and be saying, hey, guys, that's a lie. That's no, hang on, everyone, they're lying to you. That's our job right now.
Right. Just, yeah, throwing marbles in the gears of the machine.
Right. So, and we can't do that from another platform. No one's going to follow us there.
They would love that. They would love to have everyone go off into these fringy sites and say, oh, yeah, that's where all the kooks are. You can go there if you want to, but, you know, put on your kook gloves.
Your kook gloves, because you get kookies. But, the other thing is, too, always, and this is in life as well, don't assume for evil people that they're going to do evil and then act accordingly. Like, when Twitter does something weird and you spot them doing it, say, hey, you're doing something weird. What's going on there? You're not meant to do that. You're meant to do this other thing. And keep holding them accountable for that, because they know that it looks weird. They don't want anyone watching them. They don't want us talking about it. ideally, you know, censorship works best when people don't notice it. So keep noticing it, keep making a noise about it.
Right, yeah, and that's just a general life pro tip as well for, like, interacting with sociopaths and manipulators in general. Make a lot of noise about, hey, you're doing a weird thing. You said this one thing and now you're doing this other thing.
Right, yeah, the don't more, be polite.
Yeah, they'll run off into the shadows.
Right, yeah, because a lot of very manipulative people just bank on the fact that most people are polite and well-mannered and don't want to think badly of you or make you feel embarrassed or, like, you know, perhaps accuse you of something that you might not be doing or whatever. But if you know someone is as sleazy as Mark Zuckerberg, you should be pointing out all the time the sleazy things they're doing. Like, just do that. Be unashamed about it. And if you get it wrong, occasionally say, well, sorry, but, you know, you do sleazy things all the time. So, you know, I assumed you were doing another sleazy thing. So shoot me, you know? Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, and anytime there's something weird going on, just err on the side of making noise about it.
Yeah, just do it. I know sometimes it feels a bit stupid. Occasionally, like, I've made a big noise about something that's happened on Facebook that has turned out to be a normal thing. It's happened once or twice. Most of the time, though, that I have made a noise and it has been a really, really weird thing and that they've had to fix it or whatever. So just make a noise and, you know, apologize after. They are doing weird things. No one will think worse of you for making a noise about something. Like, we're allowed to be paranoid. Oh, yeah, no, that's not the next article, though. So, yeah, that was that one. That actually sprung out of a conversation that we were having on the podcast. So
yeah, we've covered a lot of this ground anyhow.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the next article?
Truth is the first casualty in war, especially in Cold War.
Ah.
So, all right, so we're in a new Cold War.
Yeah, even the Council on Foreign Relations is saying that now.
Yeah, gleefully.
Yeah.
They're so excited, I'm sure.
So that just is happening. You don't get to say that's not happening anymore. Anyone who says no,
right.
They are wrong. This is happening.
Yeah. And so what is a Cold War? Like, a hot war is fought with weapons. A Cold War is fought with words. So we're getting lied to all the time. And the propaganda is really thick. I put for the opening pick, I put the one of Jeremy Corbyn with the BBC ran with him in front of, like, some onion-shaped Kremlin-style buildings and with a Putin looking over at him like he's some delicious treat. He's wearing a hat that looks like it might be one of those fluffy ones. And
they made him look as Soviet as possible. Yeah, they photoshopped his hat. I'm certain they photoshopped it.
Oh, they bloody did, yes.
The brim, if you go in close, the brim has been replaced, part of the brim has been replaced by black pixels to make it look more like one of those hats.
Yeah, they definitely put shading on it.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know. Like,
deliberately.
And it does look taller as well. They say that was the bend of the graphics or some shit, but anyway.
They fucking knew that what they were doing, though, and they made him look as Soviet as possible because they put him in front of a Kremlin skyline that was red. They colored it red. They made it red. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Could you be more blatant in your propaganda, you fucking creepy dicks?
Also,
this is the BBC, by the way.
The BBC, right, yeah. And they've got these lines in the sky that remind me of the Japanese flag. Like, there's just a whole heap of kind of... It's just so propagandary. Anyway, so, yeah. And they do know that they fucked up about that. They did overdo it. So, because the next day they had a guest on who actually had a go at them about it. And the guy could... All he could do is giggle and try and say, well, it's this possible thing.
Yeah, but the BBC's Twitter account was going crazy afterwards saying, we didn't Photoshop it. You fucking Photoshopped.
Of course. Well, the whole thing was a Photoshop, you know, and yeah, they knew exactly what they were doing.
We didn't Photoshop it. We just picked a uniform where he looked as Soviet as possible and put him in front of a Kremlin skyline and colored that skyline red to imply that he is a red, to imply that the leader of the opposition in the UK is a fucking Kremlin spy.
Right. This is kind of, you know, they piece love the shit. Homophobia to aspect to it.
So they, so, oh, sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, just have a look at this. Like, Putin's looking at him like,
oh,
he's
yeah.
a tasty piece How of meat. How you doing? And, yeah, and Corbyn's got doing? A slight duck face, a little bit of a pout.
They set that up. They so set that up on purpose.
Yeah, oh my of God. Course they did.
So why did they do that? Why did they target Corbyn in that way?
Because he came out. So Sergei Skripal is in hospital now with his daughter and another policeman who attended it. They were poisoned. This was a couple of weeks ago at the start of the month. And within 24 hours of this poisoning happening, everyone was going, it was the Russians. We must go. And, you know, this cannot, we blah, 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 war, 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 war. And Corbyn said, hang on. Can we have evidence? I reckon I'd just like a little bit of evidence before we go into World War III. You know, I don't know. Maybe killing everyone on Earth for like a poisoning. Maybe we should find out who poisoned him first.
It's kind of the 15-year anniversary of Iraq. That was kind of something that should have never happened. Kind of a crime against humanity.
Perhaps we should be, tread a little more carefully.
Maybe learn our lessons of the past. Maybe. Soviet spy! Not just Russian, Soviet.
Yeah, the Soviet. They love that.
It's so creepy.
It's so reboot.
So yeah. So vintage. So this guy who probably does not pronounce his name, Skripal.
Skripal, sorry. I did work it out. Oh my God.
But you're so Australian.
I know.
And so text-based.
Yeah, Sergei Skripal. I did look it up, though, didn't right, I? Yeah, I've been no. trying to be a good journalist. Yeah,
no, your whole interface is text-based. And that's we butcher pronunciations here all the time. And that's that just is what it is. So, yeah, so this case, tell us about it.
Okay, so this guy, Skripal, he was a Russian spy who was brought over to be a UK spy. He was a double agent there for a while. The Brits were paying him a lot of money to do so. He got found out. The Russians took him back, charged him. He was in jail for 18-year sentence, which he didn't serve all of it because there was a spy swap. Now, this happens, right? Spy swap. Yeah. A do-over.
It's so weird. How weird is it that they'll just swap spies, like, you know, on any lower level, on the highest levels, it's just a game. On any yeah. lower levels, it's like, oh my God, a hacker ruined democracy, and yeah. like, oh my God, Facebook ads, and even the tiniest little fucking thing is treated like it's the worst thing anyone has ever done. It's a new Pearl Harbor, it's a new 9/11, but you get actual espionage, actual spies, and they just trade them back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay, we got 12-year spies. You give us 12-year spies. That's okay. And then we have the spies and you have the spies. And then we do over. Yay.
Start again. Start the whole game again. It's like game of risk. This
cutesy little game for them.
Yeah. So Skripal was brought back to England where he retired and was living as a citizen in Salisbury. But look, I just need to mention this. He and the Moon of Alabama does a good job of piecing these bits together. He's living in the same town as the guy who initially picked him up to be a spy for the UK, who also has... So he lives in that same town. They're friends. And this guy has associations with Christopher Steele and the famous, you know, Christopher Steele of the famous Pissgate dossier and mm-hmm. Orbis, the intelligence services. He has worked for them. So there's a connection between Skripal and the Pissgate dossier. I just have to say that because, like, you know, trippy. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I mean, yeah, so... I don't know what the actual story is, just to say there's a lot going on here and you couldn't have worked that out in 24 hours. Right. And in fact, they didn't. When it first came out, the local police and the local news was saying it's fentanyl. It was a poisoning of fentanyl. But then quickly that story was debunked And ever since then, there's just been rolling debunkings of, like, they come up with a new theory and then it gets debunked.
It was in their food first, after the fentanyl, it was in their food, and then at some point it was on the car handle, it was a car door handle that they got them with. And then,
now they're talking about a vent.
And air vents. Like, they're changing every single thing about the story, every day it seems like. But they're absolutely certain it was the Russians.
Right.
No room for doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Anything else, the whole entire other story, rest of the story is changing. But definitely Russia. We were completely wrong about everything else, but definitely not wrong about Russia.
Yeah, definitely not wrong about Russia. Russia, who you would think, if they were going to off someone, would be a little more... I don't know the word.
Discreet, a little more. Yeah, well, first of all, they probably wouldn't choose someone who an ex-spy who has been retired for years in complete irrelevance,
yeah,
not doing anything and just hanging out in the UK for years, having no strategic relevance whatsoever.
Keep insisting that they used not only a Russian poison, but a Russian poison with Russian fingerprints. They won't show any evidence of this, right? But so they're trying to tell us the Russians would go ahead and fail to poison someone.
Yeah, he's still alive.
With their own poison. So he's still alive, yeah. So they would fuck it up, but also, that doesn't sound very Russian. Like, they're pretty good at killing, right? You know, we're basically, World War II was run by Russians. They are good at this whole killing game.
Right.
And
then they use this poison with the really Russian-y name.
The Russian-y name, hey, Novichok.
It's us, Russia. We use the Russia poison. Yay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what does the CIA do when they want to kill someone? They fucking hack their car and make them drive into a tree and have it explode.
Yeah.
They'll drop a weight on your throat and say you killed yourself weightlifting.
Yeah. They're like, why are the CIA so much better at suiciding you than...
than these murderous FSB people?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Russians know how to do it good too. And that doesn't look like, you know, two people sliding down a park bench having been badly poisoned and...
ineffectively poisoned. Yeah, if the Russians have people whose job it is to kill people...
I'm pretty sure they just do.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, as stupider than fucking Boris and Natasha and Rocky and Bullwinkle. Yeah. This is a fucking comedy show.
Yeah, anyway, so it's full of plot holes. It's unbelievable. It's so very, you know, the Anthrax, the WMDs. It's just got all the same, you know, and we're expected to just roll on this train with them. It's like, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. That doesn't sound weird at all. Oh, and it's not convenient to you guys at all either. Like, oh, you're just about to go into an election. It would be very handy to smear Corbyn as a Soviet agent, would it? Oh, right. Oh, that's just mere coincidence, isn't it? And oh, right, it's just actually, you know, there's also an election in Russia and that would be very handy to
you've got a whole agenda against China and Iran and Russia, and you're trying to cut Russia off from the rest of the world, and now you got Boris Johnson over there trying to convince the EU to cut Russia off from the world and be a lot harsher on Russia, which is the thing that a Cold War is.
Yeah. They're pretty shit at this, actually.
They're so good at media, though. They just own so much of the narrative that they can get away with. The fact that the BBC can run a photoshopped image of Jeremy Corbyn looking all Sovieted up and suffer zero consequences, other than people going, fuck at BBC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the one thing about the English public is that they are quite cynical. And apparently, you know, The Guardian, which used to run with the line, I think it's still in their kind of their URL, the comment is free or whatever, but they never open the comments for anything.
Well, it's not a controversial stuff anymore, huh?
No, they just don't. Someone accidentally left the comments open for 10 minutes and... the whole thing apparently is just hilarious. Because the poms are so funny too when they're like, you know, when they're just really funny. They're good at that. So
poms is Australian for English people.
Yeah.
For our listeners who aren't.
Prisoner of Mother England. This is our little way of kind of getting back at them, because basically they sent us over here as prisoners, and so we're like, yeah, well, you're prisoner of Mother England, so, huh. It's just...
Australia is so weird. It's like, it was like just this big lump of dirt far, far away, and nobody, no European people wanted to live there. And so the English people were like, well, let's send up a bunch of people we don't like down there because nobody wants to live there. And then all the people that they sent down there were like, God damn it, I don't want to be here. And then the brown people came up to them and they were like, hey, how you doing? And they were like, fuck you, I don't want to be here. And they killed them. And then that's the whole story of Australia. It's just, they just put a bunch of people on some dirt for no good reason and who never wanted to be here.
Yeah.
Instead of just leaving it alone.
So painful, isn't it?
It's awful. Anyway, England, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure
about the genocide of the Aboriginal people. That's horrible.
And I'm not that I'm convinced that England is a real place.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to talk you up to that. I've been there, baby. It really does exist.
Yeah, you tell me that, but am I supposed to believe that there are really wizards and dragons and stuff?
No, there's not wizards and dragons.
So there's no England.
What do you mean by that?
England is where the wizards... All right,
look, we're going to have this conversation all right, after sorry. Later, okay? That's the same fucking conversation. Anyway, so... number three. Oh, did we finish that one, do you reckon?
Just the whole point is that the Skripal thing is bullshit, and we can expect them to lie more in a Cold War, not less.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because like that guy said, the truth is the first casualty. When war comes, truth is the first casualty. And that's more true in a Cold War.
Because all they've got is words.
They don't it's have all weapons. It's all manipulation and propaganda and psyops.
Yeah, so we can expect to be lied to a lot.
Yeah.
So.
And the last article to catch us all up.
Is how to get rid of those pesky paranoid conspiracy theorists.
Oh gosh. I'm so glad you finally wrote this.
Well, you know, you and I do hate conspiracy theorists.
Oh, I hate nothing more than a conspiracy theorist. Nothing makes me madder than someone who just turns on CNN and is like, I don't believe the things that I am watching.
I really hate anyone who doesn't believe the official narrative. Like, how dare you? You've got to, like, trust the media, trust the government. Who are you as a person unless you take them at face value?
So you have come up with 6 points... which will purge us of this plague of conspiracy theorists once and for all.
Yes, so gather around and listen in.
So what is step number one?
Okay, step number one, and I think that this will do away with a lot of problems very quickly and rid us of the scourge of the conspiracy theorist. Number one, I say this to the mainstream media, stop fucking lying all the time.
You don't say.
Now, hear me out. I think maybe the problem is here that the mainstream media are lying all the time. And so the people are turning to conspiracy theories to try and work out what is really going on. They, you know, when you lie, you know that story is not true. So then these conspiracy theorists, they just take the reins and they run with it, and then they make up stories about what might really be happening. So I reckon, look, it's out there, but perhaps if the mainstream media stopped fucking lying all the time, then the conspiracy theorists would be put out of business.
That's just crazy enough to work. Because, yeah, if they're being lied to all the time, then they just figure out... try to figure out what the real story is, and they start making up wild conspiracy theories about nonsense like the American government is surveilling its people, or they're arming terrorists in Libya and Syria or some nonsense.
Right, yes. Anyway, number two. This is to the government, right? So land it down to the people. Mainstream media first, to the government. Wiki wiki whack, step it up, stop. Try some actual fucking government transparency.
Actual, so government transparency.
Yes.
So you're saying instead of the thing where they hide all of the information from the public in the name of government secrecy and national security and whatnot, they do the opposite.
Yes. See, it's they're called public servants because they work for the public. Now, if we actually have them working for the public interest in the public sphere in public, then perhaps then people wouldn't have to make up stories about what's going on behind the closed doors of government secrecy.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of like if you hired a gardener and you said, well, here's a bunch of my money, you do the gardening. And then the gardener comes back and he says, yeah, I did the gardening. And you go, oh, let me see. And the gardener says, no, you can't.
Yes.
I will not show you. I mean, these people...
I built a fence. It's electric. You're not allowed to look.
Right. But so your theory is that since tax money is going towards the government should have to be accountable to the people.
Yes.
Who are paying taxes.
Yes.
And
show they're working. Show their documents. And so perhaps if the Freedom of Information Act is used and a citizen requires some documentation of what the government might be doing with their tax money, which is their tax money, those documents would come back in full.
Instead of not at all or all black.
Yes. They would actually say the things that the government is doing with the tax money.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. It's just crazy enough to work.
So people won't have to make up stories about what's going on behind that veil of secrecy.
Right.
I see. So what is number three?
Number three, this is really out there, but I think this could solve a lot of problems. Stop fucking killing people.
Stop killing people.
Yeah, stop killing people. Not kill people. Not
Don't
kill people. Yes.
Tell me more about this.
The negative of killing people.
That's rather outlandish.
I know. It's outrageous, but it might just work. See, what might be happening here behind the closed doors of government, this refers back to number two. Government might not be that comfortable in the public seeing what they're doing with the taxpayers' money and may be reluctant to go fully transparent because they're using a lot of this money to kill people overseas. And in fact, they're taking the money that they should be using for services and safety nets for the American people and using it to kill the people overseas, thus also killing people in America as well. Through lack of services, lack of healthcare,
right.
Exposure, homelessness, etc. So there's a lot of killing going on, and I think they're right,
You got to do some killing.
No, I actually more think that they're right that probably the public wouldn't be that into the killing.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a big... I mean, you and I, we love killing.
We're all about the killing. Love us some drone wars.
Yeah, but the general public don't like killing. It's right. Just one of those things.
They're silly.
It's bad optics. So messaging is all wrong.
So a lot of times they say, well, we can't tell you what's happening behind this enormous veil of government secrecy because we got all these military bases all over the world. There's like hundreds of them. And we got all these troops and they're performing all these operations and we need to keep that a secret because you don't want our soldiers to get hurt, right? Mm. And so what you're saying is they stop doing that.
We bring them all home. They get to patrol the borders of the United States, which are actually fairly safe, as is. And the rest of the troops could perhaps be put to work with the money. I mean, there's plenty of money going to these wars. They wouldn't have to be spending them overseas. They could spend the money at home on infrastructure projects, etc., and social services, all sorts of things. It would be a lot of money for everyone. And that way that they could open the government to more transparency because the government wouldn't be hiding the fact that they're killing a lot of people.
So bright side, this would help solve the conspiracy theory problem. Downside, fewer people killed.
Downside. Yes, we have to put up with more people alive. So
I guess sometimes you got to take one for the team. What's number four?
Number four. Now, this is a really interesting one now. This is kind of more about modeling, you know. When I think of leadership, I think of in terms of modeling. At the moment, the government is doing as in a do as they say, not what they do sort of phase. This addresses that. I believe the best way forward would be in eliminating conspiracy theories out there in the wild would be to stop promoting fucking conspiracy theories, official ones.
Oh, like what? What sort of official conspiracy theories?
Well, there's a small theory. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's called Russiagate.
Russiagate? No, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's I see that on TV all the time.
Yes, it's an official conspiracy theory. It's about the Trump administration colluding with Putin and the Russians in order to secure the presidency.
Okay, but that's collusion. That's not conspiracy.
I think you'll find they're the exact same word. They're synonyms.
What?
Yes, yes.
That's curiouser and curiouser.
Yes. Yes.
I'm learning
just
so much.
Just by calling it collusion doesn't actually make it not a conspiracy. So this isn't just my wild idea. Perhaps the government shouldn't be pushing collusion theories, if you will.
This conspiracy theory about a hostile government power infiltrating the highest levels of the U.S. government via conspiracy.
Yes.
I understand you now. I understand you.
It's just a little bit, you know, if you're going to stamp out all conspiracy theories, why not start at home?
Yeah, and then people would follow your example and they'd be like, oh, well, if our leaders don't do conspiracy theories, maybe we don't need to either.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Thanks.
Number five.
Stop being such fucking assholes.
Huh.
Yeah. See, look, this comes down to the whole lying thing again, you know, and the public having to make up stories about what you're actually doing behind these closed doors. Look, if the US was declined the whole torturing people overseas and even on American soil, then they wouldn't have to lie about torturing people. Mm. You know, if they stopped surveilling US citizens all the time, they wouldn't have to pretend that they weren't doing that.
And then since people would stop seeing that their government is doing horrible, evil things behind the veil of government secrecy, and then their government lying about it and covering it up, they wouldn't think the worst of them, and they would give them the benefit of the doubt, and they would trust them more.
Trust. That's what we're talking about here, Timothy.
Building trust.
We're building trust, yes.
Yeah, that'll show those conspiracy theorists.
They will just be... They will...
What will you have then? What will you have, conspiracy theorists, if people trust their government because they're not doing evil things all the time in secret?
If they're just telling the truth.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what are you going to say then? You make up your stories in the face of truth?
They're just... This end game. Checkmate. Checkmate, conspiracy theorists.
I have one more.
What's number six?
Number six is maybe try some fucking democracy for once.
Huh. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, democracy is a good idea. And most Americans believe in it. And they would like it. They would like their vote to translate into power of some sort. Not just at the voting ballot, but, you know, into policy legislation and into creating better lives for them rather than just constantly, termiting away all their rights. And
yeah, I saw a recent, there's a recent poll that showed that 74% of Americans now believe that there is a deep state controlling the elected officials, controlling democracy.
Now, of course, that's preposterous.
Bollocks.
Bunkum. But all they are seeing right now is that they will want something and they won't be able to get it. and they won't want something and it will happen anyway. It feels like to the average American that their vote doesn't count, no one listens to them, and what really matters is that the intelligence agencies, the military, and so forth, seem to have this whole program that they're going to undertake whether or not they like it or not.
Gosh.
So that is provable too. There are statistics that show that the average American has no influence whatsoever over the government, but people with a lot of money do.
So you're saying if we change that, people would stop feeling as though American democracy is a sham and they're all controlled by plutocrats and intelligence and defense agencies.
That would just blow that story away, wouldn't it? Just
that would completely, whoosh! That would just, and so with this six-point program of yours, we would just get rid of all these awful, awful, awful conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
That's a world I look forward to seeing.
Thank you.
You got a poem for us?
I really love conspiracy theorists. That was hard for me to do.
They're good people. They're great. Something about stepping outside the groupthink and looking at stuff for yourself and figuring out what you got what you reckon is happening is like the difference between someone who has done that and someone who hasn't is the difference between like a whole person and a two-dimensional drawing of one.
Right. Because, you know, like, even to come up with your own conspiracy, I love when someone says, you know, I've got a conspiracy theory, do you want to hear it? I love that way more than gossip or anything like that. Like, it's just like, yeah, all right, come on, tell me.
My favorite are the conspiracy theorists where you tell them your most outlandish conspiracy theory that you've got.
Yeah, the ones that you keep real secret to yourself.
Yeah, and then they're just like, okay, sheep, drink a little more of that MSM Kool-Aid.
Bah.
Like that's just like kindergarten level conspiracy to them.
That is always the best part of a night out. Yeah. When you get down to that sort of conversation. But yeah, like I do love conspiracy people who can hold a conspiracy theory, especially with a light hand and, you know, just examine things. They're the people with imagination. Like they're the people who are just willing to, you know, they're not so beholden by the beliefs and tight structures of the mainstream media narrative. So yeah. So I'm sorry if I scared people. I know I did scare people with that whole piece, actually.
I think they had a good laugh once they figured out what you were saying.
Yeah, a few people didn't actually.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Aww.
I felt bad. But anyway, that always happens with satire. Like every time they do a satire piece, I, like, you know, I end up sneaking around and saying, "You have to read it." To upset people.
Well, that's what they get for freaking out over a fucking headline and not reading the thing.
I know. Well, people do that. That's why I try not to. Like, I do try and, like, I always say I don't do clickbait. I do, like, if I say it in the headline, it's going to be in the article.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't like to trick people.
Yeah.
But that was just too much fun.
That would indeed get rid of the conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, it would. All right, so the poem is Blue Lilacs. You arrive at long last, after uncountable eons, to the Valley of Blue Lilacs. A dragon made of pink roses and old books rises up from the foliage to meet you and asks if you have any weapons. You show it the space in your mind where your armory used to be, now occupied only by the hissing static of an old television. You show it how your soft, tender belly takes in the sunlight and the smells and the songbirds. You are gentle, says the dragon. You agree. It licks your nose and transforms into a tiny pink worm and curls up in your pocket around your chapstick. The valley belches yellow birds into the sky and they sing your original name. It is a good name. You'd forgotten it. You sit, full lotus, on a large mushroom and let your leaf wings unfurl. We are all so small, whispers the worm. You agree. The song of the birds carries to the cheap seats of the universe.
Caitlin is an entirely reader and listener-supported journalist, so if you want to support her podcast and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Medium, on Steemit, and on CaitlinJohnston.com, where you can get on a mailing list to get an email notification whenever she publishes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue. Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love your girlfriend.